It is still November 14th, 2022. Ward Green here, 1905 hours. I meant to say have a great day at the end of my last video, but I stopped the video a little quickly, and that got cut off, that part. So I hope you had a great day anyway. And I'd like to sort of put the final video to rest here for the day, because I want to report on the insoles that I got today. That's the reason for making this video. And well, today I spent some part of the day watching a video from Rosa Stringworks, which was very interesting. Can I click on it? Oh yeah, this is on top. That's the problem. This is always on top. If I say don't make it always on top. Okay. I watched a video called Custom Guitar Neck. I guess RSW's Rosa Stringworks. That's the name of the channel too. Rosa Stringworks. I'm not sure the 489 might be the guitar model or something, but I did Google that, and I just don't think that that was the main issue, or that was not the main point of the video, or it really had very little to do with the video. The video was about making a new neck for some guitar that was made, that was brought in to Jerry, and Jerry made this new neck while the man waited. But it took several days, and the man was staying in Jerry's rental resort property. So, I like watching the videos that Jerry makes, because you can learn an awful lot about a lot of things, but mainly guitars and things like that, guitar making, by watching. So, I mean, he has a lot of videos out on that channel. I'm more of a technical. I'm not a luthier at all. I'm more of a technical craftsman. So that when I do work, I guess I have more of an engineering. I do have more of an engineering background than most people, and more of a mathematical basis for doing all of my calculations and things, or all of my, you know, reckoning. But I could do dead reckoning without doing calculations too, and I love working that way. I love eyeballing things and improvising, and I love all of that, especially in doing workmanship like woodworking, for example. I haven't gotten into metalwork very much yet. I'm starting to try to get into that. Yeah, I'd like to show you my setup for that, but I still haven't gotten around. There's that song, you know, the waiting is the hardest part. And the waiting for me is the design. I mean, to wait for the design to crystallize, or to find its final form in your mind, to perfect your design by waiting. To me, that is the best aspect of design, or that's the most effective way to... That's the most effective use of time, actually, in design, is to wait. It's really surprising. But especially when you're more technical like I am, then the more time I have to process things in my brain, the more amazing and the more quickly I can get the job done when I start doing it, but also the more amazing the result is, because I've had time to process. And it's the subconscious mind too that processes information. Anyway, I just wanted to mention that. So when I look like I'm delaying and putting things off and, you know, procrastinating, I'm not procrastinating, I'm just designing. And I've come up with this new design idea for possibly building a chin-up bar that can hook on to two bolts on the wall. But now that I've thought of it, you know, that I may not end up doing that either, but it's something that I have to now consider. And it's going to take more time. I can feel it. It's going to take more time to ponder how it should or could or would be mounted to a wall in all of the implications of how you do it. The reason I thought of it too was because I couldn't imagine how you could cut a round hole with a plasma cutter. So I mean a small hole for a 3/8 inch bolt or something. I could not conceive of how you could do that with a plasma cutter and make it perfectly round. So, or even close. And I didn't want to, I wanted to do this without drilling. I don't know why that is, but I guess it's because steel is harder to drill than aluminum or whatever. Actually, aluminum, I've actually ruined an end mill doing milling aluminum because I didn't mill it fast enough or something. You have to have the right speed. Aluminum is actually harder to mill than steel is, but it's not harder to drill than steel is. But it's fascinating, all the differences between materials. I just had a thought that I wanted to see if I could make slots instead of holes and then have the thing locked down just using slots. Of course, you could then put a bolt on, couldn't you? And bolt the thing, or put it, you could do that as well. You could have it hooked down over the slot. You could put a threaded rod into the hole and glue it in there, maybe even, or you could have it in some cases come out the other side if you've got that ability to do that in that location. But you could have a threaded rod coming out of the wall, glued in maybe into the hole using epoxy, perhaps that might work. But steel, you don't normally glue steel with epoxy, you usually glue wood. But I imagine it would hold well enough. But then I wouldn't do it because it's not designed that way usually, unless you had epoxy that's good for steel and or metals. So, and I've never used that, so I don't know how good that is. I like to use things I know about. So that's why I think the best way is to hook it on and have a bolt with a hexagonal head on the end of it that you bolt into the wall, screw it into the wall, and the bolts, the end of the bolt, the hexagonal head on the bolt is what prevents the slot from sliding off. It just locks it in place. It can work really good. It's just that you can easily pull it up and it could fall off the wall if there were some upward force. But that's not usually a problem with chin-ups because you're not putting any upward force on it, usually with chin-ups. I like the idea of being able to lift it up and take it off and go hook it on somewhere else. I just love that idea. And I wouldn't have thought of it if I wasn't trying to avoid making a round hole, but I was trying to make a slot and then have it a diagonal slot that you could just slide this thing down, clunk. Because if it's a vertical slot, why not? You can't make a vertical slot because the angle iron is vertical, so you can't go up. You know, there's no way to do that. You have to go from an angle. You can't go horizontally because if it went horizontally, it could easily slide off horizontally. So it's got to be a diagonal slot that you slide it down at an angle, chunk, clunk, into the slot that you cut into the angle iron like that. So that when you slide it on, it just the angle iron comes down like that, clunk, in, and the slot finds its way over the bolt that you screw into the wall. It just the details are what are slowing me down now because I need to know exactly how long are the angle iron pieces going to be, because if it's going to be up near the ceiling, then you need clearance. And how far apart are they going to be, the two angle iron pieces, how far apart so that you can bolt it onto between two studs in a wall. Or maybe you're always going to do it above a doorway. So if it's always above a doorway, then you don't have to worry about that spacing. But if it's in a doorway, it's going to be about 30 or 32 inches apart, because that's the usual width of doorways. And if that's the case, I need to measure all my doorways and make sure it's going to be okay. And then I have to cut the bar, which is the horizontal bar that's going to go in the doorway. It's 48 inches long, which is too long for a lot of the places where you might want to put it. So I would have to probably cut that to the width of a doorway, roughly, which is about, or to the same width of the mounting points, roughly, which is about. But also, It can be slotted into the angle iron and clunk in too. To the part of the angle iron that comes out from the wall, that can have a slot for the bar to go in. And then that can be held in place so it won't slide sideways by putting welds, spot welding at the ends of it. Or a little bit of a ridge at the end to prevent it sliding. I mean, it's a very simple idea. I like this idea, but I love the process of design. And I like to perfect the design to where I'm fully committed to before I start work. So that's what's delaying it. That's what's slowing me down. But I wanted to show you my table down the basement too. And I don't want to use my... It's harder for me to use the iPhone than to use this cam. So I'm using this cam. The laptop MacBook Pro cam. I'd rather use it because it's easier. Now I also want to report on... So, I mean, I can't show you that because I don't want to make that video until I'm ready to do something. But I basically enlarged the work surface by using a 16... gauge piece of 2 feet by 4 feet sheet steel and adjusted the DeWalt table to the same height as the underside of my bench where there's a ledge or there's the frame the same height as the frame, the top of the frame of my bench, so I could slide it under the workbench top onto the frame of the bench, and they're at the same height, and then I just clamp it down onto the DeWalt table, and I've got this, it enlarges the work surface a lot, but it's only 16 gauge. But if I clamp it at a few places, it's quite sturdy. It could support quite a bit of weight. I could improve on it too without having to buy a really, you know, a thick, like a 1/8 inch. This is only 1/16 of an inch because it's a 16 gauge, but that's actually fairly strong. It just might rattle around a bit, you know, if I don't clamp it in the right places when I'm using it. But it's enlarged the workbench maybe probably more than a foot because it overlaps with the DeWalt, which is 15 3/4 wide. It was supposed to be 18 inches, but it's only 15 3/4. But it's 43 inches long, which is, the DeWalt's 43 inches, and this sheet is 48 inches long. So it's longer than the DeWalt, so it sticks out a bit at each end. But it can give me 2 feet maximum, so if I overlap it with the DeWalt, which it is, it's overlapped on the DeWalt to one of the slots, as far as one of the slots on the DeWalt, so I can put the clamps through the slots and clamp the sheet steel down onto the DeWalt table. It has to come as far as as one of the slots on the DeWalt. I'm not sure which slot I used actually either, but I just don't have the picture in my mind. But it was a good way to do it. I think it was great. I can't clamp it onto the frame of the bench because it's got the top of the bench right above it, so there's no way to get a clamp in there. Oh, there's a way, but I wedged it. That's right, I wedged it in using cedar shims. So it's wedged between the bench top and the frame of the bench underneath the bench top, to which the bench is attached with shims of some kind, spacers. It was attached with angle brackets were used, actually, and it was just lifted up about a half inch or so or a quarter inch above the frame of the workbench so that I could level the workbench that way because the frame wasn't completely level. Used angle brackets to do that. But because there's a gap in the middle and there's no angle brackets in that 4 foot long space, I can just slide the sheet in under the worktop of the bench on top of the frame. And then I wedged in cedar wedges, which I have never used. I had these long cedar wedges for a long time for use for door frames and things. But they're extra long ones and they're 2 inches wide or something, or maybe more. And I just wedged them in under, in between the worktop and the frame of the bench, and they are an excellent way to anchor that end of the sheet steel. So I'm not sure how much width I've added. Probably adds about between 12 and 18 inches, you know, of width anyway, to the overall width of the working surface for welding that I can use. Right, so I can use it for welding. I could weld something onto that if I want to, but I mean, I don't have to use that sheet steel for anything permanent. I can use it as a temporary work surface, and then I can still use it for construction if I want to build something too. And I can buy another sheet to replace it maybe. That's the idea. I'm using what I have to build temporary work surfaces. And that way, but I'm also using my other workbench, my Black & Decker one, to extend the length of the DeWalt in the north-south direction, so that I'm able to do that as well. And then I just have to use, you know, some blocks to raise the height of that, so that the work that I'm working on that's extending over that can be raised up using blocks, 2x4 blocks. And that's why, little children, it's always good to save all your scraps of wood. Always save them, if they're sizable at all, if they have any size to them. Save all those scraps of wood. Even sometimes the little tiny ones, especially ones that are unusual shapes, like being a wedge shape, for example. Wedges can be useful, but I shouldn't say especially, any wood shapes, like the rectangular ones are very useful as clamping blocks and things like that to protect your work when you're clamping. So, and all different sizes of clamps means you can use all different sizes of clamping blocks. So all different sizes of scraps of wood. Save it all. Save it. Keep it. Don't throw away your wood, your little scraps, and your blocks, and your different size scraps. Keep all your scraps of wood. It's valuable and useful. Okay, so talking about the insoles, I've tried the two insoles that I got today, and neither one of them is anything that I can use that has improved anything. But I learned something very, very important today when I tried all the insoles. I mean, the ones I got, I'm going to give these reports because I think that you need, I think that if you have feet, which many of us do, you need to know how to make your shoes as comfortable as possible. It's going to make your life immensely better. That's the reason I'm doing this. And I realize that, and it's proving true today because I've found a way to make my boots more comfortable again. My Danner boots are now, I'm almost sure, but tomorrow I'll know better. I believe they're the most comfortable boots I've ever worn now in my life. And that's because I remembered to change back to the original method I was using with the two different Superfeet insoles. Two different insoles. It's a total of $110 of insoles in these $310 boots. So they're $420 boots now because of the insoles costing $110 each. But it's worth it because now that I've got the proper arch support again, I've still got the Superfeet green in the bottom of the boot, and then I've got this Superfeet Adapt Run Max, it's called? Yeah, Adapt Run Max, the first ones I tried, which were the best. But they don't feel as squishy like as... it was deceptive. I put the Danners in there instead of the Adapt Run Max on top of the... I had swapped the Danners back in place on top of the Superfeet Green. They felt like I was walking on air, but it hurt my left foot because they didn't have enough arch support, and that put more pressure on the outside of my foot because my arch didn't have any pressure on it. Right now, my feet are fantastic. I've been wearing my boots all day long. All day long, right from morning at around 10 o'clock or something, I've been wearing these. Well, I took them off when I was trying the different inserts, but all day I've been wearing these. And I think these are going to be the most comfortable boots I've ever owned because they're not even broken in yet. And I don't feel like, I mean, they'll have a, it'll, the only friction is on my ankles right now because there's a few, you know, bits of leather and stuff like that that poke into my ankles and things like that. But I mean, it's not the sharp edge. It's just that the leather is too stiff and it just pushes on my ankle in a few places. But I actually love it. I love the feeling that I'm breaking them in and knowing I'm breaking them in because it's not hurting me. It's just a little bit, you know, a tiny bit of pain, which I love it because I know they're going to be broken in no time. If I'm just a little bit patient with them. But the thing is, the softness is deceptive, okay? You can get an insole that feels soft, but if it doesn't support your arch, if you have an arch like I have, a higher arch, which is more you know, lacking support in the middle, then you need the right arch support in your insole to help distribute the weight better. And that's what I've got with these Adapt Run Max on top of the Superfeet Green. The Superfeet Adapt Run Max and Superfeet Green, both insoles in the boots, because they were very, very loose fitting boots. And the other good thing about the looseness of the fit, though, it, in another way, they're loose in a different way. And that is, when you unlace them, they almost fall off your feet. There's no pulling or yanking, or they're the easiest boots to take off that I've ever had as well. The easiest that I've ever had to take off my feet. They're just, I might have had one, maybe the hiking boots I used to have were like this too. I can't remember. They probably were fairly easy to get off. But these are far easier than any other boot that I've ever owned, that I can remember anyway. They're just amazing. So if you want to take boots off easily, you just unlace them, and they'll drop off your feet. That's what these are like. But when they're laced up, they're not coming off. They're really, you can lace them up well. You know, the laces come right up on these boots. The laces come right up to the top. You know, I forget what the height of it is, what the number of inches it is. But where is it? Let's see. So they're Vibram soles too, which are fantastic. But look at the, let's see if I can show this. Yeah, there's the ankle. So they have, they have two hooks on them. Two hooks, and then, you know, four eyelets. I almost knocked the heat shield off here. There are four eyelets and two hooks on them. And the combination of those, when you get them laced the right amount, these are not slipping either. They're not slipping, and my right foot always slips, usually. These aren't slipping on either foot. I've got perfect fit, and they're just so comfortable. And it's not like I'm walking on air, which is, like I said, deceptive. You can have the wrong insole that can make you feel like you're walking on air, but it will fatigue your foot, or it will make it sore later, because you might not have enough support in one part of your foot, even though it's well cushioned. Like when I had the Danner insoles instead of the Adapt Run Max, it was more cushiony. Definitely felt like I loved it more. In terms of walking on clouds, it felt like it was better, but it made my foot hurt at the end of a few hours. Not even, I mean, I wouldn't have been able to wear it. Maybe that would have broken in eventually, and maybe that pain would have gone away, but I'm not going to do that, because that's not the best way to do it, right? The boot should be comfortable right from the get-go, and that's what it is now. So that's what I learned today. The other insoles that I got, the hike, the Adapt Hike Max, that one, the Adapt Hike Max is virtually the same in many ways as what this one is, but I'm going to probably stick with this one because it's working. But I could probably substitute the Adapt Hike Max instead if I wanted to, and it wouldn't be a problem at all. I mean, so it's a substitute, or it's a replacement for these if these wear out, for example. So the Adapt Hike Max is another. It fits the same. I mean, it looks the same. It's the same size. It's going to go in the boot. I've even put it in and tried it, but it didn't feel any better, so I went back to this one. So, in fact, maybe it felt even a bit worse, but it depends how tight you tie the boots. So it was slipping a little more, I thought, with the Adapt Hike Max, but I didn't try tying them as tight as these are. I don't know. They shouldn't. They look identical, so I don't know why they'd be different, but they probably have some differences. Otherwise, they wouldn't make two different models. But the difference will be not in the arch, because they look almost the same in that. The difference will be more in the amount of flexibility, perhaps, and things like that. The amount of support in terms of how stiff they are, I mean, that sort of thing. But the other ones I got, the thin ones, they just don't happen to fit any of my boots right now. Or at least the reason why I can't use them in the Merrells, yeah. That's what I got to say. I can't use the Superfeet in the Merrells because they're too long. Because they're size 9 or 9, whatever they are. But I was able to get one of them in the Merrells, I think. The thin one, the black one, Superfeet Black, that one fit in the Merrells, but it just didn't make things better, even though it fit. It didn't make it feel, it didn't prevent the slipping of my heel in the Merrells. So I went back to the, I changed something in the Merrells. Wait a minute. What did I change? I changed something in the marrows. Hang on a second. I don't know what I did. Hang on.
Did I go back? No, maybe I went back. Yeah. I tried different combinations. But, I mean, the Danners are perfect. So that's my final. This is, I think, my final report on the Danners. But I'll have to review it again tomorrow and the next day. But to see how I'm going to keep wearing them. I went back to the same marrow combination, I think. I'm using both the original marrows that came with the boot. They say marrow on them. And then also this older marrow insole, I don't know which boot it comes from either. It might come from the boots I have now, but they seem to already have an insole in them, so I don't think that this is from those, but they say marrow. So I went back to the old marrows on the bottom and the new marrows on the original that came with the boot on top. But I could substitute for that, right? See, this is the black. Let me show you this. The amazing thing is, for some reason, the Superfeet black are the same size as the Merrell size 8. The Superfeet black, they're the same size, and they look almost the same in terms of color. I mean, they're both black, but the difference is the Merrell says Merrell, and the Superfeet says Superfeet. That's the difference. So, and they're interchangeable. They're fully interchangeable. They don't look the same on the bottom. The Superfeet are more plain looking on the bottom. The Merrells have some cushion spots that are different colors. That's this one, the Merrell. The Merrell has the blue spot on the bottom, the blue spots. But the Superfeet has a very nice, strong heel cup, like a very, very firm plastic heel cup. And it felt great. It felt fine to wear it. It didn't feel bad to wear. You know, it was comfortable, but it didn't make my heel. And look at how they fit in terms of the heel cup. The Merrell have a more extreme cup on the heel. Look at that. Look at the cup on the Merrell is much more severe of a cup. And the Superfeet is a shallower style of cup. But the Merrell, you know, it's got a very deep cup. And that's what came with the boot. But I was able to substitute the Superfeet in place of the Merrell, but I didn't find any benefit from that. So I went back, you know, and I tried the Superfeet on the bottom too. I tried different things. I tried substituting the Superfeet for the old Merrell. You know, so I tried every combination that made any sense at all. But so far, there's no use for this Superfeet, but I will. Oh, I haven't tried my running shoes yet. I've got to try it in my, but my ASICs fit well already, so I'm not that interested in trying it, but I will, because I just know the ASICs running shoes already fit amazingly well, but because I haven't worn them for a while, I don't know for sure how well they actually fit, so I'll have to try that. But I really think these Superfeet are they're definitely good because of the size, and because I can't try the other insoles in the Merrell boots because they don't fit. And I'd have to cut them. And I don't want to cut them because then I can't use them in a size 9. You see? And I've got my old Merrells, they're size 8 too, and I tried these in my old Merrells too. I tried different, but they're too tight. The old Merrells work the best with their original insoles in them. So my old boots are the best just the way they are. My old Merrells. And these new Merrells that I just was talking about here, that's the Moab 3s. They also have the Vibram sole, beautiful sole on these, on both of them. But these are not full leather uppers, right? They're just suede and synthetic uppers, combination uppers. But there's still a lot of things to learn. I'm waiting for some more insoles now to arrive so I can try some more combinations and things. But I'd like to get some that fit the marrows even better than what I've got, because these new marrows still slip more than I'd like on the right foot. So if I can find a better combination, I will definitely, it will be worth it. If I can find a combination that makes the marrows feel anything close to as comfortable as these Danners do, that's my goal, I think. But the other goal is I want to share what I can learn about, look at that, it's separating here. Is it broken? No. It's supposed to be like that, I think. You can actually separate the bottom of this pad. It's a little bit separate from, it's not glued on completely. It's got some separation. Yeah, you could pull them apart. The top foam layer. See that? It can be separated from the bottom layer. There's a separation. It's not attached everywhere. But these are super feet, and I know they're really, really well made. They're very highly reviewed by a lot of people. So I know that there's going to be a shoe that these are going to work in. I'm almost certain that somewhere I'll find a shoe that I can use them with. But if not, I need to have them because they're thinner. And the thinness of them will enable me to... It'll get me out of a bind, literally, but also figuratively, it'll get me out of a bind if I have a pair of shoes that are too tight. I couldn't use them in my Spira shoes that have the Wave Spring sole on them, because that's a size 8 and they don't fit in that size 8. They didn't fit the Spira shoes. So I don't want to cut them. If I cut them, I could try them in the Spira shoes, right? But they're thicker than the Spira insoles, I think. Yeah, the Spira insoles are much thinner than this, even though these are thin. These have a bit of a heel cup on them with a step side on. The sides have angular sides on them, square sides. So that's going to take up more space in the shoe, and the Spira shoe has a very thin insole that came with it. So this will take up more space, which will make them tighter, I believe. So these are not really good for the Spira anyway. But these are going to work in somebody's shoes, my shoes, hopefully. But I mean, in some shoes further down the road, these are going to be useful in case I don't have the right thickness of insole to match the need. This is a thinner insole overall than many of the other ones that I've already got, right? So I needed to buy this, and I'm super thrilled that, well, I can use it in the marrows. I can use it. If the marrows wear out or after they're broken in, maybe these will be better. It's really important to think about your feet and the comfort, and to invest money in that. It is one way to take action towards your future, of the future of your feet and your walking and so on, which is so important. So I'm absolutely thrilled. I hope we get some more insoles soon. Wednesday I'm supposed to get some more. And I was supposed to get one more pair today that I didn't get, which were Spenco. I don't know if I'm going to like the Spenco, so I'm not really going to mind if I never see the Spenco. I just don't know anything about Spenco. I'm not going to be disappointed since I don't know anything about them. Maybe if I never see the Spenco, I might just think, well, you know, I might just think, well, maybe they weren't any good anyway, and so if I never see them, maybe it'll just be a good thing. So, since I've never seen them, I don't know. But if they did arrive, I'd be thrilled. I am ready and eager to try them. I want to find out what I can learn. So I've got to figure out, I've got 8 pairs that I ordered, 8 more pairs, and so 2 of them have arrived out of 8. There's 6 more that are supposed to be in transit. In addition to what I already bought, is 8 more coming. So, and the total is of those is 340. So I've spent $500 probably dollars altogether. Is it? Let me think.
Well, I've spent 450, including the ones I'm using in the Danners plus the ones that are on order, 450. So then I must have easily spent $500 on insoles in addition to the $430 in boots that I bought. I've spent more on insoles than I have on boots. That's what I've done. And actually, now, the thing is, if you've got narrow feet, that's the thing. I've got narrow feet, so I'm never going to find a boot that just fits my foot. It never fits because they're too roomy, because they go around my foot, and my foot is narrow. So there's always too much boot and not enough foot. So I need to put insoles. So in my case, I need to spend money on insoles a lot more than some people do. But if you're like me, then this video is for you, because I'm trying to share what I know. But I mean, you don't have to. I also didn't have to spend all the extra money. I could have stopped because I already had the combination in the Danners. If I'd found that combination, I might not have found that combination unless I tried these new ones like I did today. And then I realized I could go back to the other combination, which I might not have realized if I hadn't bought these new ones and been trying more insoles. And the idea of switching things back and forth might not have come into my head if it weren't for the fact I was ordering more. So it did, though, and I did switch back, and it seems to have saved my life here with these boots, with the Danners. I mean, they're just the best I've ever felt on my feet. I'm serious. It's the best, most comfortable boots I've ever felt out of the box, but the most comfortable I've ever felt virtually ever. Like, I don't want to take them off. Like, I have no desire to take them off because there's enough room for my toes. They don't feel hot. They're very lightweight, too. That's the other thing about the Danners. Extremely lightweight, full-grain uppers, Vibram soles. They fall off your feet when you unlace them. They're the most comfortable boots I've ever worn. They're not broken in. I can wear them as much as I want. I mean, what more can you ask? I've got the two Superfeet insoles in them, $110 worth of insoles in them, but I mean, that's worth it, because it makes them the best boot I've ever worn. So I wish I could wear them for everything. I can, but I've got to figure out how I can protect them against scuffs and stuff. I've got to figure out what to do to help protect them, because they're such great boots. And maybe I should have gotten a full-grain suede upper, if that's possible. That's what I'll be looking into also, because that might be more resistant to wear and tear, I think, or to some sharp stick, you know, that gets stuck into it. The shiny ones, when they get cut, I'm not sure what happens. I'm not sure if they're better or worse to have the smooth side up, or I don't know. Actually, I've never thought about that. But somebody in welding, well, Jason Marburger is the guy, actually, who told me this in one of his videos, that the suede side of the boot is better for welding because it's more resistant, he said, to getting scarred by the welding sparks and things like that. That's what he said, something like that. But so it was too late for me. I'd already bought these, ordered these, but these are such fantastic boots. I don't know. I mean, I'm serious. I can wear these boots. I could just loaf around the house in these boots. They're work boots. They're hiking boots, but they're the most comfortable shoes almost I've ever had. That's just amazing. I just have to make sure I keep the foot powder, you know, I've got my new foot powder that I now have my recipe for, which you can find in previous videos. The foot powder recipe, which is such an amazing thing, that's easy to make as long as you have the right raw ingredients, which is black walnut hull powder, aloe vera, arrowroot powder, and kale and white clay, along with tea tree oil, peppermint oil, and rose geranium oil. And you could throw in lemon and orange oils too if you want into that mix, because I've added that to the recipe as an option. But I mean, this foot powder is amazing. Oh my goodness. I mean, I love the foot powder. It's almost edible. It's so good. I mean, it's probably, maybe it is edible. You don't normally eat clay because it's just clay, you know, but I mean, is everything else edible in it? I think everything about it is edible. I don't think, well, I know arrowroot's not poisonous. Black walnut hulls, are they? I don't think they're poisonous. Aloe vera's not poisonous, is it? I don't think so, but I don't know for sure. The kale and clay is not poisonous, but it's just like dirt. But I mean, it's clay, just rock ground up, right? But this, I mean, it smells fantastic. And I've got my different one. This is my version 4. This has all the extra, a little bit more of the scented oils, like the peppermint and the tea tree oil and stuff. And it's got a little more tea tree than peppermint in that one. And it has some citrus oils and a little extra rose geranium oil. But I mean, I love the foot powders. I just love it. I love it. I love it. I just, because it makes the boots smell like, you know, like roses. Every time you take your boots off, it smells like roses. Every time you put them on, you can put more foot powder. So it smells like roses all the time. But you can put it on your feet. This is foot powder. You rub it on your feet in between your toes to clean your feet. Before you start your day, you clean your toes with this foot powder, rubbing it on. And then you don't need a lot of it, just a little bit. Rub it on and you're good to go. You're ready. Then you don't even need it in your boots, really. But I'm putting it in the boots because they're brand new and I don't like to ruin the boots, you know, with foot odor. So, I mean, I'm putting it in my boots now, but I mean, I'll be learning more about how to use it. So that's the report on the insoles. I think it's well worth, in the case of someone who has narrow feet and high arches, to invest money in the best insoles you can buy. But on a budget, and I'm using a budget of about $60 maximum for one pair of insoles, which you could, with regard to which you could spend easily $130 on a pair of insoles. And I haven't bought that type of insole yet. I've not been willing to risk that much money. At some point, I probably will be willing to risk that, but I have to be convinced. Like, I see a brand, right? And then I have to read the reviews and see that somebody says why they're better. Why is that better? Why is paying $150 more than... Why is it better to pay $150 than to pay, you know, $20 or $50 for a pair of insoles, right? You can't get them for less than about $20, but I've got a pair that's coming that's only $20. I hope they're good. I want to see what they're like. I hope they come, and I hope they're decent, but they're not supposed to be here yet. I think Wednesday, I might have another report coming on these, but it'll take me time to try them. The Ilaca are the $20 ones. But I'm buying athletic style insoles because my feet are high arch and the athletic insoles tend to be more of a high arch. So I'm trying to stick with athletic insoles, but I don't know what you'd do if you're flat feet. If you have wide flat feet, you may not even need insoles. You might be fine with the boots as they come, but the insole can give you that extra cushion. If you have flat feet, you need a cushion because you don't have any spring built into your foot in the form of an arch. You need a cushion. So you can get that type of insole that's just a flat cushion that doesn't have any arch or anything, if that's what you want. But some people with flat feet actually get used to an arch support and they enjoy the feeling, and they're able to stand longer on their feet in some cases with having a little bit more arch support in their shoes, from what I've read in the reviews anyway. People who say this, it takes a while for their feet to adapt to the arch shape if they have flat feet. And I'm not an expert enough to know what's good for flat feet. I'm not saying anything. I don't know. But I've read some things. It sounds like maybe some people with flat feet can use more of an arch support, but I wouldn't be sure at all about that. But I think people with flat feet, and anybody, can use some cushioning. If there's room in the shoe, that is. If you have wide feet, there might not be room in the shoe to put an insole in, but you can take the existing original insole out of the shoe, and then maybe you can put in a more comfortable insert. If you don't have narrow feet, you know, if you've got wide feet. Because the wide feet just take up more space, right? And that prevents you from getting the uppers laced up in a way that's comfortable, you know, unless you have room at the bottom as well. You need room in the whole boot. Whereas if your feet are narrow, you can fill up some of the space by filling the bottom of the boot with some insoles. So today I tried I even tried 3 layers of insoles at once in one of my boots. I'm not sure which one now. I guess it was my Danners. I had 3 different insoles in the Danners at one point. you know, I mean, you could go that far as to put three different insoles of different kinds on top of each other if you have narrow enough feet and the boot is big enough. I'm not sure. I don't think that's the best idea, but I'm not sure it's bad either, necessarily, if it works. If they fit well together and they don't slide around, then it's very possible. And if they're not too cushiony, you don't want too much cushion probably either, you know, but I'm not sure either. But you don't want too much play, too much space or too much cushioning in the sense that you don't want a place for moisture to accumulate and then bacteria to grow either. So you don't really want insoles in your shoes at all if you can avoid it. But foot powder will really help. All this fungicidal foot, this, all the ingredients, aloe vera, black hole powder, tea tree oil, and peppermint oil are all antifungicidal. They all kill fungus. I think the peppermint, I know all the others do, the other three do. What else? The arrowroot powder, I don't think that kills anything, but some people might be allergic, maybe, I don't know. And the kaolin white clay is pretty neutral. It doesn't kill anything. But these, it just smells fantastic. Oh my goodness. There's at least three antifungicidal things in there. The tea tree oil, the black walnut hull powder, and the aloe vera. They all kill fungus. So you put that in your shoes, and it's just fantastic. Anyway, that's my report. That's my foot powder report also, but that's my insole report for now, which I promised earlier today, so I'll try and get that uploaded now. How long did I talk? It's not as long as sometimes. I hope that's short enough. It's November 14th, 2022, 1952 hours, a very good year, I think, by the way. This is Ward Green saying, I love you. I hope you have had a wonderful day, and I hope the rest of your evening is great, or whatever time zone you're in, the rest of your day. And, you know, what else do I usually say besides I love you? Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. And I'm glad I could share this with you. And bye for now.